平安。
Peace, brothers and sisters.
刚刚子蒙弟兄用了一个很好的比喻。
Just now, our brother 子蒙 he shared with us a very good example.
讲到我们每个人在地上，我们开车的时候，我们都有 GPS.
He said, when we are on earth, we use a GPS when we drive.
我们在人生的道路上，神是我们的 GPS.
In life's journey, God is our GPS.
盼望今天我们可以借着这一点的时间，我们在这一点上能够有一点交通。
I hope that today we can have some sharing in this aspect of God.
那我们还是有一点祷告。
Let's first have a word of prayer.
主耶稣啊，我们感谢你，你把我们召集在你的脚前。
Lord Jesus, we thank you that you gather us before your feet.
主啊，你知道我们的光景，就求你把你自己的同在，把你的话语赏赐下来。
You know our spiritual condition. Please send us your word.
主啊，你更知道为你说的人是何等的有限，就求你亲自来帮助他。
You know how your servant who speaks is so limited. Please help him.
主啊，帮助他，让他能够讲得清楚。
Please help him to speak your word clearly.
主啊，你也帮助每一个听的，让我们听的能够听得明白。
And help all those of us who are listening that we may understand.
我们把一切的赞美和感谢都归给你，祷告奉耶稣基督宝贵的名。
We give all praise and thanks to you in Jesus' precious name.
Amen. 那我今天要与大家交通的题目是人生如棋，无惧无悔。
So today's topic that I would like to share with everyone is life like a chess game, no fear or regret.
我想我们常常听到说人生如棋或者是棋如人生这样的比喻。
We often hear that life is like a chess game or a chess game is just like life.
因为下棋和人生其实有很多很多相似的地方。
Because playing chess games is a lot like life.
因为棋要一步一步的下。
When you play chess, each move is step by step.
人生要一步一步的走。
Living your life is also step by step.
要一点点的经营。
A little investment here or there.
下棋有攻有守。
In a chess game, you have yourself and your opponent.
那我们人生有得有失。
You have defense and offense. And also in life, you have gain and losses.
那棋局百变，人生也无常。
Just like in chess, there are so many different possibilities, possible moves, and so also in life, there are so many changes.
我们都知道下棋要非常的小心谨慎，因为一盘棋的输赢常常只是有几步关键的棋你要走好。
You know that when we're playing a chess game, we have to be careful because sometimes a whole game can end in failure if based on a few strategic moves.
那人生也是如此。其实我们人生的轨迹常常由那几步很关键的步走好了就决定。
And our life is also similar. Sometimes our life will end up in a certain way based on some strategic decisions that we make.
那这几天大家可能都注意到说朋友圈有一个新闻被刷屏，大家常常来讨论这件事情。
Everyone might be familiar with something that's in the news recently on WeChat Moments.
大家知道是什么事吗
？Everyone might have seen this on social media. Do you know what this is?
就是在这一周里面刚刚结束的国内的高考。
Recently in China, mainland China, they just finished their high school.Well, college entrance examination.
我相信大家都承认高考是对我们人生很重要的一步。
I think we all agree that these college entrance examinations are a very important part of our life.
我们每个人都希望在我们人生的棋局上我们能够步步为营，直到最后成为一个赢家。
We all hope that each move that we make in life will be a winning move and eventually we will become a successful person.
但是不知道大家有没有知道说人生如棋，但是有一个很大的区别就是落子无悔。
Now, we may think that life is just like a chess game, but often we may end in regret.
因为我们没办法后悔，所以很多的时候我们常常会踌躇不前。
Because we cannot change those moves, we are often hesitating.
我们会患得患失，担心一勺不振，满盘皆输。
We are afraid that we'll lose, and so we're often living in fear on what's the next move to make.
所以，当我们回想我们自己走过人生道路的时候，有几个人能敢说我走得无惧无悔
？So how many of us can really look back on our life and say we're moving forward in life with no fear or regret?
即使今天我们成为基督徒，我们成为神的儿女，我们也。不敢说我们要有一个无惧无悔的人生。
Even as Christians, we're not always sure of ourselves that we can live a life with no fear or regret?
那难道这个无惧无悔的人生对我们来讲只是一个梦想？
Is this just a dream to live a life of no fear or regret?
我们有没有可能能够有一个无惧无悔的人生？
Is it possible for us to live such a life?
那我们今天一起来思考这个很大的题目。
So let's think carefully today together about this big topic.
说到人生如棋，十几天前有一场下棋的比赛吸引了千万人的注意。
Speaking of life like a chess game, there has been a huge competition that has attracted much attention recently.
我再问大家，有没有人知道跟 IT 也有关系的？
It has to do with IT. Does anyone know about this?
是在上个月的5月23号到27号，在中国的乌镇有一场围棋比赛。
May 23rd to 27th, in a place called Wuzhen, there was a big competition.
那对弈的一方呢，是世界围棋排名第一的世界冠军，中国的棋手叫柯洁。
So one of the participants in this competition is world champion of Go.
那另外一方是谷歌公司开发的人工智能程序 AlphaGo。AlphaGo。
The other person is a program invented by Google called AlphaGo.
那在23号、25号和27号的三场比赛，三场下棋的较量当中， AlphaGo 以3-0绝对压倒性优势打败了人类排名第一的柯洁。
So on May 23rd, 25th and 27th, three games in a row, AlphaGo completely defeated the world human champion.
那这件事情再次引起了很多人的关注。
So this attracted many people's attention.
其实人和机器下棋这不是第一次。
This is not the first time people are competing against artificial intelligence.
早在1996年的时候 ,IBM 就开发了一款这个电脑。
So in 1996, IBM had already invented this kind of computer.
那叫深蓝。
This was called Deep Blue.
那个时候它只是下国际象棋。
And at that time, it was just playing international chess.
Yes. 97年的时候它就赢了当时的这个国际象棋的世界冠军一个俄国人。
And this computer beat the world champion at that time, who was a Russian.
那个时候也相当的轰动，很多人非常的害怕。
And everyone was greatly in fear at that time.
因为担心像科幻小说里面一样，有一天电脑会打败人类。
Because they were afraid, just like in science fiction, that one day artificial intelligence would defeat all humankind.
那但同时有一些人根本就不担心。
But some people were not worried at all.
那这些不担心的人就是当时的围棋的棋手。
So who are these people who are not worried? They were players of Go.
他们认为说象棋输了不怕，还有围棋。
They thought to themselves, losing at chess is one thing, Go is another thing.
因为大家都知道，国际象棋的复杂度和围棋的复杂度是没办法比的。
Because international chess cannot compare with the complicatedness of Go.
我不知道大家在座有没有玩过这两种棋类的。
I don't know if us present here, if you have played these two kinds of games.
那国际象棋的棋盘是8×8的。
So, the possibilities of international chess is 8×8.
那他所有的其实 IBM 的电脑只是把所有的可能性算了一下。
So what the IBM computer did was just calculate all these different possibilities.
对每一种可能性，他算出一个最佳的下法。
With all these possibilities, they calculated the best possible move.
所以在下棋的第一步，他就抢占先机，直到最后赢得这个比赛。
So with the first move, the computer was already ahead of its game and then defeated.
但是当我们来看围棋的时候，情况就完全不一样。
But in the case of Go, it's completely different.
围棋的棋盘是19×19。
The possibilities are 19×19.
那有人算过，所有围棋的可能性加在一起要达到10^170。
They calculate all the permutations and possibilities. It's 10^170.
10^170.
10^170.
简单的说，就是一后面有170个零。
So it's one with 170 zeros behind it.
可能性就复杂到这个程度。
So the complicated nature of it is to this extent.
所以同样的做法在用来下围棋的时候是根本不可能的。
So if you use the same computer method with Go, it's impossible.
这是为什么当时的围棋选手说，人类要如果想在围棋，电脑如果要想在围棋上打败人类的话，至少需要100年的时间。
That's why people at that time said, if a computer wants to defeat humans at Go, they probably need another 100 years to develop.
当时是1997年。
That was 1997.
那到现在大家可以算一下只有20年的时间。
So everyone can calculate. It's only been 20 years since that.
那这20年的时间里面, 人工智能发展可能可以说是突飞猛进。
And in these 20 years, artificial intelligence has been developing at a rapid speed.
以为要100年才能做到的事, 竟然让 AlphaGo 现在就做成了。
We thought it would take 100 years, and now AlphaGo has already done it.
先看一下 AlphaGo 都做到什么程度, 啊,
so let's see what AlphaGo has done so far.
先是在2015年的10月份, AlphaGo 5-0打败当时欧洲的世界围棋冠军。
So in October of 2015, AlphaGo completely defeated a European champion of Go.
这是第一次这个电脑程序击败了围棋的职业选手。
This is the first time a computer has beaten a professional player of Go.
尽管这个职业选手的段位只有2段啊, 离最高的9段还有很大的距离。 The second level.
Oh, this is just the second level. There's 9 levels of this game.
那在2016年的3月份, 经过自我训练强化以后的 AlphaGo 在5场比赛当中以4-1击败当时的世界冠军。
So in March of 2016, AlphaGo again defeated this world champion 4-1.
那这个世界冠军是叫李世石，是韩国的，是9段棋手。
So the world champion was from Korea. His name was Lee Shishi.
这是第一次这个 AlphaGo 打败9段的职业棋手。
This was the first time a computer had been an AlphaGo player on level 9.
那在去年12月9号一直到今年的1月4号一周的时间。
In 1 week's time, from December 29, 2016 to January 4 of 2017,
AlphaGo在网上以一个叫Master的这个账号的名字在围棋网站上挑战所有一流的围棋选手。
AlphaGo used a user account called Master to challenge all players of Go.
那短短一周的时间他赢叫豪取60连胜。
In 1 week's time, this Master became just the champion of all.
那我不知道NBA最长的连胜记录是多少。
I don't know how long the winning streak of NBA is.
但是你如果能够连续打败这个超一流的选手60次, 其实是非常非常不容易的。
But to have a 60-game winning streak, this is very difficult to accomplish.
那最近的一次呢, 就是我刚刚提到的说在5月底的跟中国选手柯洁的比赛。
And the last time was what I just mentioned in May, that AlphaGo had defeated a Chinese champion.
那这次比赛跟之前就有一点点不一样。
This competition was a little different from past competitions.
在AlphaGo第一次和这个世界冠军李世石下棋的时候,
the first time AlphaGo was playing with this player,
所有的选手都认为这个电脑要击败人类几乎是不可能。
All other people watching felt that this was impossible for the computer to defeat this champion.
所以这种下棋几乎没有什么可比性。
This kind of method, the two methods can't be compared.
那没想到到最后电脑赢了。
But to everyone's surprise, the computer won in the end.
那等到上个月电脑在跟柯洁下棋的时候。
So last month when the computer was competing against 柯洁,
所有人都知道说, 人能够打败电脑的可能性几乎是零。
At that time, everyone felt that the chances for humans to defeat computers, the chance was zero.
那比赛结果也真的是3-0毫无悬念。
And the competition really revealed itself to be so, 3-0.
那柯洁是19岁的围棋天才。
柯洁 is a genius at Go.
那比赛以后他就说人类研究围棋已经研究了几千年。
After he was defeated, he said, people have been researching Go for many thousands of years.
那他感慨说, 人工智能却告诉我们,
but artificial intelligence has shown us that what we've researched is actually just the surface.
那他在新闻发布会上说, 说连坚持下去都很难, 因为他实在太完美, 讲到的是 AlphaGo 太完美。
He said in a news release, even to even to persist is very difficult because AlphaGo is too perfect.
所以它没有任何的缺陷, 没有任何的波动, 越来越接近围棋上帝。
It doesn't have any limits or faults. It's really close to being God.
所以我真的很责怪自己我没有下得更好一点。
I really blame myself for not playing even better than I did.
因为他感觉他可以为人类的尊严而战。
Because he felt that he should have played for human dignity.
因为有个很大的不同是就是在比赛当中 AlphaGo全然不会在意一城一池的得失。
So in the competition, AlphaGo never experienced defeat.
因为他设计的时候就为了全盘得胜而考虑,不单单是为了局部争先。
AlphaGo wasn't concerned about a move that would bring bring loss because it was concerned about the overall game.
所以跟现在这个围棋的这个比较功利啊,重于计算是完全相反。
So it's really opposed to this utilitarian view of Go.
那我相信大家大概有很多人都知道另外一瓶哈。
And everyone
另外一个最好的中国棋手。
Everyone knows this other very great champion in China.
那当他看到说在 这个60场连胜,电脑一直都胜的之后,他发表了他自己的感想。
He talked about his own feelings after seeing the 60-game winning streak.
他说,Master就是那个电脑的别名,说改变了我们传统的围棋理念,颠覆了多年的定式。
He talked about Master, which is the user account for AlphaGo. Master has changed our traditional thinking and changed a lot of our old ways of playing.
围棋远不像我们想象的那么简单,还有巨大的空间等着人类去挖掘。
Go, this game of Go is not as simple as we think, and there's still much room for us to explore.
最后的感慨说, AlphaGo也好, Master也罢, 都是围棋上帝派来给人类引路的。
So whether it's AlphaGo or Master, this is like a Go God that has been sent to teach people.
所以这些世界上水平最高的职业选手从他们专业的角度
So these are the words of professional Go players who talk about how AlphaGo wins games.
其中有几点是非常重要的,第一点是非常注重全局。
One of the strategies AlphaGo has is it really values the overall game, the total situation.
然后是计划周详,计算精准,完美无缺。
The planning, the strategies are very accurate and perfect.
所以在下棋的过程里面,那些看似比较愚蠢的这个招法,最终却是用胜利来证明只是人类当时不明白。
Sometimes AlphaGo made some so-called foolish moves, but AlphaGo's victory proves that actually this is just what humans cannot understand.
我不知道他们是不是基督徒啊。
I don't know if these players are Christians.
但你有没有感觉他们的感慨跟我们有点像?
But their feelings are actually similar to ours.
其实很多的时候,神在历史当中的作为,在人看来好像非常非常的愚拙。
Many of the things that God allows in history, to us it may seem foolish.
最终却只能显明我们自己的无知。
But in the end, it only shows our own ignorance.
我相信在我们人生的棋局里面,我们没有人盼望说我们有一个AlphaGo这样的对手。
I don't think any of us in our life want to meet an opponent like AlphaGo.
但是我相信我们每个人都希望有AlphaGo这样的帮手,对不对?
But we all hope to have a helper like AlphaGo.
因为在整个的比赛当中,其实电脑只是算出它要在哪个点上下棋。
Because in the whole competition, the computer only calculates when and where it's going to make the next move.
真正下的是有一个棋手按着电脑说要下到哪儿才得把棋摆到哪儿。
It's actually the computer directing a player. The computer will tell the player where to place that piece.
如果在我们的人生当中,我们有AlphaGo来指导我们的话,
If we had an AlphaGo directing us in the course of our lives,
他说怎么走,我们就怎么走。
If whatever he tells us, we'll do it.
他要我们往东,我们就往东,往西就往西。
If he tells us to go east, we go east. West, we go west.
那结局是保证你赢。
The result is that we are guaranteed we will win.
你感觉这样的人生是不是无惧无悔的人生?
Then isn't this really a life with no fear or regrets?
其实感谢主我们在我们每个得救人的生命里面, 我们有一位主比AlphaGo远远大得多。
We thank the Lord in our life after we've been saved. We have a God who is much greater than AlphaGo.
就是当我们相信主的时候，他把他的圣灵赏赐给我们。
When we believe in the Lord, He gives His Holy Spirit to us.
他来引导我们。
He leads and guides us.
他在我们每一个属神的儿女身上都有一个周详的计划。
In each of us who are His children, He has a very clear and accurate plan.
他要改变我们，把我们磨成神儿子的样式。
He wants to change us, to make us into the likeness of His Son.
那为了达到这个目的，他预备各样的环境来训练我们。
To complete this plan, He brings us into all kinds of situations to train us.
那我们所需要做的就是按照他的引导来做。
So all we have to do is follow His guidance.
直到他的旨意成就在我们的身上。
Until His plan is completed in us.
我们要如果这么做的话，我相信我们每个人都会知道说我们将要有一个无惧无悔的人生。
If we all do this, we will know with certainty that we'll have a life with no fear or regret.
我们现在来看今天的两段主题经文。
Let's look at the main scripture passages we have for today.
第一段是在《生命记》32章10到12节。
The first passage is in Deuteronomy 33.
生命记三十二章十到十到十二节。
Deuteronomy chapter 32:10-12.
那我念给大家哈。耶和华遇见他在旷野荒凉、野兽吼叫之地。
In a desert land, he found him in a barren and howling waste. He shielded him and cared for him. He guarded him as the apple of his eye.
就环绕他，看顾他。保护他，如同保护眼中的瞳仁。
He shielded him, cared for him, guarded him as the apple of his eye.
又如鹰搅动鹰巢，在雏鹰之上两翅扇展。
Like an eagle that stirs up its nest and hovers over its young, that spreads its wings.
接取雏鹰飞在两翼之上。
That spreads its wings to catch them and carries them on its pinions.
这样耶和华独自引导他，并无外邦神与他同在。
The Lord alone led him. No foreign God was with him.
那这里讲到的是神的百姓在旷野里面。
This passage talks about God, with his people in the wilderness.
那旷野的光景是荒凉，而且有野兽吼叫之地。
In this wilderness, it's barren, it's howling waste, and there are beasts.
就在这样的光景里面，我们的神来遇见我们。
In this condition, God meets us.
其实荒凉是讲到缺乏。
When it talks about desolation and barrenness, it talks about our need.
那野兽吼叫是讲到危险。
Howling beast speaks of dangers.
那神就来看护我们，来照顾我们。
God cares for us, guards us, and protects us.
就像保护眼中的瞳仁一样。
Just like guarding the apple of our eye.
那我们每个人对我们眼睛的保护的程度，我相信都是最高一级的，对不对？
I believe all of us guard our eyes very well.
这里面讲到说神保护我们就像保护眼中的瞳仁一样。
Here it talks about God guarding us, just like we would guard our own, the apple of our eye.
那下面一节是讲到说他要像鹰一样搅动鹰巢。
And then the next verse talks about how God is like an eagle that stirs up the nest.
是讲到说这里训练小鹰能够飞翔。
The eagle is training its young to learn how to fly.
据说鹰在训练小鹰飞翔的时候，常常把小鹰带到悬崖边上。
It is said that eagles, when they train their young, they often bring them to a cliff.
然后让小鹰飞出去。
And they let their young just fly out.
那小鹰在刚开始的时候可能非常紧张，甚至会从空中掉下来。
The young are very afraid at first. Sometimes they might even just start falling through the air.
那当小鹰要掉下来的时候，这个老鹰就在下面接住它。
When the young are just falling down, the eagles will then pick them up.
这就是这里面描述的说接取雏鹰飞在两翼之上。
And this is where it talks about the eagle spreading its wings to catch them and carrying them.
那最后一节是讲到说耶和华独自引导他，并无外邦的神与他同在。
And then the last verse tells us the Lord alone led him; no foreign god was with him.
特别强调的是说神他要亲自的来教导我们。
Here it really emphasizes that the Lord alone will teach us.
没有任何其他的神一起来参与这件事情。
There's no other foreign God that will participate in this.
因为神知道我们的需要，他也知道我们的害怕。
Because God knows our fears, He knows we are afraid.
他知道我们对前途好像非常彷徨，所以他来看顾我们，来保护我们。
He knows that we fear the unknown future, so he comes alongside us to protect us.
是他主动来看顾我们，来训练我们。
He takes the initiative to come and train us.
他训练我们的目的是要我们可以有一个飞的能力。
He trains us so that we can have the ability to fly.
当我们拥有这个超越的能力的时候，再有仇敌来，再有危险来的时候，我们就可以离地上腾。
When we have this ability to go beyond our limitations, then when the enemy comes, we can still defeat them.
所以神不仅看顾我们，这里面讲神也亲自来训练我们。
So God not only cares for us and protects us, but He also trains us.
因为神爱我们。
Because God loves us.
我记得有一个传道人讲到这一段的时候，有一个非常生动的描述。
I remember that a preacher once used a very vivid description to talk about this.
他说，当我们每个人得救的时候，天上的天使欢喜快乐。
He said, when each of us are saved, the angels are rejoicing in heaven.
于是天使们决定开一个会。
So the angels decided to have a meeting.
选一下先看谁来当他的老师。
To choose among the angels someone who will be man's teacher.
那有的天使就说，我来。
So some angels said, me.I volunteer.
那加百列说，我是天使长，应该由我来教。
Gabriel, the angel said, I am the head of the angels, so I should teach man.
那另外一个天使长米迦勒说，不行，你是学文的，我是学武的，应该由我来教。
So maybe another angel told Gabriel, no, you are learning humanities, and I'm more into martial arts, so it should be me.
所以天上就起了争论。
So there was an argument in heaven.
大家都想来教。
Everyone wanted to teach this person.
那这时候神说话。
At this time, God spoke.
神说，你们都退到一边去，这是我的儿子。
You guys just go to the side because this is my son.
我要亲自来教导。
I alone will teach.
因为他视我们为他的宝贝。
Because God really treats us like his precious treasures.
那尽管我们很多的时候，我们对我们自己都感觉一无是处，不满意。
Often when we look at ourselves, we're unsatisfied.
那感觉我们自己没有什么价值。
We feel that we're not valuable.
可能在周围的人在周围人的眼中，我们也是可有可无的人。
Perhaps even in the eyes of those around us, it makes no difference whether we exist or not.
但是感谢神，我们在神的眼中，我们每个人都极其宝贵。
But we thank the Lord in His eyes, each one of us is very, very precious.
那曾经有个说法，我不知道是不是真的哈。
There was once another story. I don't know if this is true.
说以前那个有这个土匪绑票的时候啊，常常要决定说多少赎金。
So in the past they say when kidnappers kidnap children and they're trying to figure out the redemption money.
他们先把这个有钱人家的孩子绑了，然后呢，决定说要多少钱这些让这些人把孩子赎回去呢
？They're trying to decide how much money to charge the parents to have their kids back.
他们有一个做法，就是做一条整鱼摆在这个孩子的面前。
And they had a method which was to cook a fish and bring it before the child.
然后看这孩子第一口吃哪
？And see which part of the fish the child would eat first.
你们大家第一口吃哪？
Which part of the fish would you eat first?
我看看你们的应该有多少赎金。
Then I could determine how much money you're worth.
据说第一口吃这个塞两侧的肉的这个孩子家里应该比较富有。
If the child is eating the meat around the gills, maybe this child is very rich.
说对这种情况的赎金就要高一点。
So then the money should go up.
那如果你吃其他部位的话，可能赎金就低一点。
So if you eat other parts of the fish, perhaps the money will be lower, the amount.
我不知道这个是不是真的。
I don't know if this is actually a true account.
但是有一点我们可以肯定的就是叫赎金越多，对于这个家人来讲，这个孩子越宝贵。
Of course, we can see that if the amount is very high, this child is very precious.
就是一件东西的价值常常要取决于人愿意付多少代价来购买它或者是赎回它。
The value of something, it really depends on how much money or how much you're willing to sacrifice to get it.
所以你知道我们每个人神是付了多少代价来把我们赎回的吗？
Do you know how much of a sacrifice God made to redeem each of us?
那在我们刚刚结束的主饼聚会里面，神是用他的独生爱子，用耶稣基督的宝血把我们赎回来。
Just like we saw at the end of the bread and cup.Communion just before. God used his beloved son to redeem each of us.
可能我们自己没有认为我们价值有多宝贵。
Maybe we don't see how valuable we are.
但是感谢神，我们每个人在神的眼中是非常非常宝贵。
But we thank our Lord, in His eyes, we are very, very valuable.
因为他用他自己的儿子为赎价把我们买赎回来。
Because He used His Son to redeem us.
他宝贝我们，他训练我们。
He treasures us and He trains us.
那我们来看今天的第二段经文。
Let's look at the second passage of Scripture for today.
刚刚我们是讲到说神亲自来训练我们，我们有最好的老师。
Just before we talked about how God is training us, so we have a great teacher, an excellent teacher.
我们再来看这位最好的老师如何用最好的方式来训练我们。
Let's also look at how this excellent teacher uses excellent methods to train us.
在诗篇七十八篇七十二节。
In Psalm 78, verse 72.
诗篇七十八篇七十二节。
Psalm chapter 78, verse 72.
于是他按心中的纯正牧养他们，用手中的巧妙引导他们。
He shepherded them with integrity of heart, with skillful hands he led them.
尽管这里所讲的是大卫如何牧养以色列的百姓。
Of course, here, even though it's talking about David, how he shepherds the people of Israel.
其实也是预表我们的神。
This is also representing our Lord.
讲到我们的神是按他心中的纯正来牧养我们。
Our Lord is also shepherding us with the integrity of his heart.
用他手中的巧妙来引导我们。
With skillful hands, he's leading us.
那我想用两个我们大家都非常熟悉的圣经人物来理解这段经文。
Let's interpret this passage using two Bible stories that we're very familiar with.
那第一个人物是雅各。
The first Bible story is about Jacob.
第二个是约瑟。
The second Bible character is Joseph.
那我想先看说神如何用他手中的巧妙 来引导雅各。
We'll first look at how God uses skillful hands to lead Jacob.
那然后再来看说神如何按着心中的纯正来牧养约瑟。
Then we'll look at how God uses integrity to lead Joseph.
那我们看神是如何下雅各人生这盘棋的。
So let's look at how God led Jacob's life like a chess game.
我想提到雅各，我们所能想到的就是他的诡诈和他的精明。
I think one thing we can think of immediately when we think of Jacob is his cunning, his deceitfulness.
他可以为了达到目的不择手段。
He would do anything to get what he wanted.
这就是起初的雅各。
This was Jacob at the beginning.
但是神在雅各的身上有一个非常周详的计划。
But God had a very detailed, careful plan for Jacob.
那总结起来可能有三点。
Perhaps it can be summarized in three points.
第一个是尽管雅各是次子，但是在神的这个旨意里面，他要得长子的名分和祝福。
The first point is that even though Jacob is the second son, he's going to get the eldest son's blessing.
第二，雅各要成为以色列十二个族长的之父，成为神承受神的应许。
The second point is Jacob is going to be the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. He's going to inherit God's blessing.
那第三点可能神要把雅各改变成一个敬虔的人。
And the third point is God's going to change Jacob into a devout person.
因为雅各根本就不是一个敬虔的人。
Because he's completely undevout.
神必须要帮助雅各来摆脱他常常依靠自己的聪明。
God really needs to help Jacob put aside his dependence on his own wisdom.
让他能够憎恶自己的诡诈。
That he can learn to hate his own cunning.
而且要让雅各能够看见自己的有限和软弱。
And that he can finally see his own weaknesses and limitations.
然后神就这个兴起各样的环境来训练，来引导雅各。
So God raised all kinds of situations, circumstances to train Jacob in this.
那我们看神是如何做的。
Let's look at how God did this.
首先，神是任凭雅各在家里面行使非常诡诈的手段。
First, God actually allowed Jacob to do all kinds of, to work all kinds of deceit in his house.
因为他这样做会有后果。
Because by doing so, he would reap the consequences.
那雅各先是用一碗红豆汤骗取了他哥哥以扫长子的名分。
First.Jacob used a bowl of lentil soup to trick his father into giving him his brother's blessing.
那更过分的是，又是在他妈妈利百加的帮助之下，假扮他哥哥，骗取了他父亲临终之前的祝福。
What was worse about this was he gained his mother's assistance in dressing up like his brother, tricking his father before his father's death.
所以当以扫发现以后，当然要跟他算账，跟他拼命。
So when his brother Esau realized this, of course Esau was furious and wanted to revenge.
那兄弟就反目成仇，于是雅各只好这个逃离家园。
The brothers became enemies instantly, and of course Jacob had to leave his home.
那他就逃到他舅父拉班的那里。
So he fled to his uncle Laban's place.
他希望在拉班那里能够，怎么讲，得到安慰。
He hoped to gain some comfort at Laban's house.
没想到拉班也不是什么善类啊，不是什么好人。But
Laban himself was not a very devout man himself.
那拉班多次算计雅各。Laban
actually used a lot of cunning to deal with Jacob as well.
那先是骗雅各白白服侍他7年，娶了他不想娶的拉结。First,
Laban tricked Jacob into serving him for 7 years to marry someone he didn't even like, Leah.
那在雅各这个服侍拉班的20年里面，10次改他的工价。And
in the 20-some years that Jacob was serving Laban, Laban changed his wages several times.
这就是雅各的狡诈带来的后果。And
this was what Jacob's cunning actually caused.
所以说神非常非常的奇妙，这诡诈的雅各，神就引导他去认识一位比他更诡诈的岳父。
So God is very amazing. He allowed this cunning Jacob to meet a father-in-law who is even more cunning than himself.
所以雅各和拉班其实可以说是棋逢对手。So
we can say that Jacob and Laban, they were excellent opponents.
所以雅各曾经欺骗他哥哥，神就借着拉班让他尝尝被欺骗的结果，滋味。Jacob
once tricked his brother, and now God was allowing Jacob to experience being tricked himself.
那神是盼望这样的经历能够让雅各改变。God
was hoping that this kind of experience could change Jacob.
那没想到雅各根本就没有学会他要学的功课。But
Jacob didn't learn this lesson.
那他这个用自己的精明控制这拉班家中的羊群的交配。Jacob
again used his cunning, his smart, to arrange the different breeding among Laban's flock.
所以慢慢他舅父、他岳父、拉班的这些羊就成都成为他的。And
gradually, all his father-in-law's flocks became his own.
所以他就富足起来了。So
he became very rich.
这让拉班和他其他的儿女非常不爽。And
this caused Laban and his sons to be very angry.
因为他们都感觉说雅各把他这个拉班家的财富都窃取走。Because
they felt that Jacob had tricked Laban of all his wealth.
所以为了避免这个拉班报复，雅各就不得不再次逃离这个拉班的家，要回到以前以扫的，回到他以前的家里面去。To
avoid Laban's vengeance, Jacob then took his family and fled again.
其实若不是神在中间对拉班显现，让他不可以对雅各说好说歹。
If God had not intervened to tell Laban not to say good or bad to Jacob,
雅各是没有机会逃离拉班的手。Jacob
really had no chance of escaping Laban's hands.
那雅各离开拉班以后，就回到这个他自己家，回到以扫的这个边界上。And
after Jacob left Laban, he came across the border of Esau's land.
那他马上就听到一个不好的消息。And
he immediately heard some bad news.
说他哥哥以扫带了大队人马，带了400个人来迎接他。
He heard that his brother Esau was coming to meet him with 400 men.
你感觉迎接一个雅各，至于用400人来迎接吗？
Do you think this is a welcome with 400 men?
所以这个雅各，主要是被吓坏了，因为他哥哥是来报仇的。So
Jacob was frightened. He felt that his brother was probably coming to exact vengeance on him.
所以你可以想象现在雅各的光景。
So you can imagine Jacob's condition at this point.
前面有以扫，后面有拉班。
He had Laban behind him, Esau in front of him.
进退无路。He
had no place to go.
然后雅各在雅各极其绝望的时候，神终于显现。And
in Jacob's despair, God finally revealed himself to him.
圣经里面记载说，雅各先是把他所有的家人都送到这个河的另一边，自己独自留在这个亚伯渡口。
In the Bible, it tells us that Jacob sent his whole family across the river, and he alone stayed on the other side.
当他自己 独处的时候，其实应该是在他自己向神寻求的时候。
And when he was by himself, he was probably seeking the Lord.
神来向他显现。
And then God revealed himself to him.
为什么说这里是神呢？
Why do we say this is the Lord revealing himself?
因为从这一段经文的上下文里面大概可以看出来。
Because we can see from the context of this passage.
因为来的那个人讲在讲说你与神与人交力都得了胜。
This person told Jacob that he has defeated man and God.
这个是与雅各摔跤的那个人。
This is a man who has wrestled with Jacob.
那雅各后来自己也说，说我面对面见了神，我的性命赢得保全。
Jacob also said, I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared.
那在何西阿书十二章第三节里面也讲到，雅各说他壮年的时候与神较力。
It says in Hosea that Jacob was, he had struggled with God.
但是这个人无论是说他是天使也好，说他是神也好。他可以完全代表神。
This man, whether it's an angel or God himself, he completely represents God.
他来与雅各摔跤，摔了一夜。
He came to wrestle with Jacob, and they wrestled for an entire night.
最难懂的是圣经说这个人过后说他胜不过雅各。
What we can't really understand is why at the end this man could not prevail against Jacob.
如果他是神的话，他怎么可能胜不过雅各呢？
If he is God himself, why could he not prevail?
其实这个人或者神不是真的真正胜不过雅各。
This man or God himself, he isn't not unable to prevail against Jacob.
因为后来他只是摸了雅各一把，雅各的腿就瘸了。
Because later he just touched Jacob's hip and Jacob's hip was touched and unable to move.
那神只是想借此让雅各看见他自己的能力非常非常的有限。
God just wanted to let Jacob see that he was a very limited person.
在人中，雅各可能算是能力比较强的。
Among people, maybe Jacob is a rather strong person.
他的聪明、他的能力、他的智谋可能胜过常人。
His intelligence, his cunning, perhaps his planning, all surpasses people around him.
但是所有这些跟神的能力相比，就是如同无物一样。
But compared to God's power, this was all nothing.
神要让雅各看见说，依靠神和依靠自己有何等的不同。
God wanted to let Jacob see that depending on man, depending on himself, is so different from depending on the Lord.
所以在比努伊勒的经历是雅各一生当中无法忘记。
So this experience at Peniel is an unforgettable memory for.Jacob.
他的腿瘸了以后，他就好像给他一个一生的提醒。
After he started limping because of what happened, this became a reminder for him.
那提醒他曾面对面认识了神的大能。
Reminding him that he had met God face to face and he had experienced God's power.
也认识了自己能力的软弱。
And he also understood his own human weakness.
就像保罗身上的那根刺一样。
Just like that thorn in the flesh for Paul.
什么时候不断地提醒他说什么时候专心仰望神。
It kept reminding him to depend on the Lord.
承认自己的软弱和无能。
To recognize your own weaknesses.
什么时候神的恩典和能力就来覆庇他。
Whenever you do that, the Lord's grace and mercy will come upon him.
从此以后雅各就不再是雅各。
So, Jacob was no longer Jacob.
他不再依靠自己，依靠神。
From this day forward, he was no longer depending on himself, but on the Lord.
他的名字成为以色列。
So his name was changed to Israel.
在雅各年老的时候，希伯来书十一章二十一节记载说，雅各扶着杖头敬拜神。
When he was grown old, Hebrews actually tells us that he leaned on his rod and worshipped the Lord.
他承认神在他身上奇妙的作为。
He admitted God's wonderful, work on him.
所以神雅各完完全全的被神改变。
So Jacob was completely transformed by the Lord.
原本那是个一切要抓到把所有的东西都抓到自己手里的人。
He was once a person who wanted to grab all things, have all things in his hands.
被神改变一个可以成为别人祝福的人。
But he was changed so that he became a person who can bless other people.
因为后来他当他来到这个埃及法老面前的时候，为埃及的法老祝福。
When he came to Egypt before Pharaoh, he also blessed Pharaoh.
这就是神用他手中的奇妙来引领雅各的一生。
This was God using skillful hands to lead Jacob.
其实神也用他奇妙的手来引领我们每一个人。
God is also using skillful hands to lead each one of us.
那我们再来看约瑟。
Let's also look at the story of Joseph.
看神如何按着他心中的纯正来引导约瑟。
How God uses the integrity of his heart to lead Joseph.
那约瑟和雅各可以说是一个截然不同的人。
Joseph can be said to be a very different person from Jacob.
约瑟可能是圣经当中唯一一位在所有的记载当中没有记载任何缺点、任何软弱的人。
Joseph can be said to be one of the only people in the Bible who there's nothing wrong recorded about him. There's no fault.
无论是亚伯拉罕、以撒还是雅各，圣经里面都有记载他们的软弱。
Whether it's Abraham, Isaac, or Jacob, the Bible still records the mistakes they made.
但是约瑟没有。
But not Joseph.
于是神用不同的方法来带领约瑟。
So God used a different plan to lead Joseph.
那神在约瑟身上的计划是什么？
So what was God's plan in the life of Joseph?
我想答案是在诗篇六十六篇第十节。
I guess the answer is in Psalm 66, verse 10.
诗篇六十六篇第十节。
Psalm 66, verse 10.
那里面说，神啊，你曾试验我们，熬炼我们，如同熬炼银子一样。
For you, O God, tested us; you refined us like silver.
所以神在约瑟的身上的目的是要来炼净他。
So God's purpose in the life of Joseph was to refine him.
让他更精纯，更加成熟。
To make him become more mature, purer.
因为神要用约瑟来成就大事。
Because he wanted to use Jacob to accomplish great things.
那约瑟的一生可以用一个成语“跌宕起伏”来描述。
The life of Joseph can be summed up in a proverb that's basically a life of ups and downs.
他年轻的时候就被他哥哥所记恨。
When he was young, he was hated on by his brothers.
被卖到埃及，成为这个埃及法老护卫长家的奴仆。
He was sold as a slave to Egypt.
那没想到这个护卫长的妻子引诱他。
He was working in the house of Potiphar, but Potiphar's wife was trying to seduce him.
那约瑟不肯做得罪神的事情。
Joseph refused to do anything that would sin against the Lord.
于是就被波提法的妻子残害，被下到监里。
So he was framed by Potiphar's wife and then thrown into prison.
想一想约瑟的遭遇。
Just think about what Joseph went through.
先是被自己的亲哥哥出卖。
First, he was betrayed by his own brothers, blood brothers.
本来是父亲眼中的爱子，现在却成为一个外邦人家中的奴仆。
He was a beloved son in his father's household, and now he's become a foreign slave in a foreign land.
然后呢，又被这个主人家的妻子所陷害，成为这个监狱里面的死囚。
He was framed by his master's wife and became this prisoner in a dungeon.
所以他的光景可以说是每况愈下。
So we can say that his condition just went from bad to worse.
如果我们是约瑟的话，你想想我们当时心里的感觉是什么样？
If we were Joseph, just think about what we would be feeling in such a condition.
我们心里可能都是对我们这个哥哥们的仇恨。
In our hearts, we might be filled with hatred for our brothers.
有各样的苦读。
We might be filled with bitterness.
甚至是埋怨神，远离神。
We might even complain against God himself.
但是约瑟却没有这个样子。
But Joseph was not like this.
无论是做奴仆也好，是在监狱里面也好，约瑟依然依靠神。
Whether he was a slave or a prisoner, he still trusted in the Lord.
但是终于有一天机会来了。
But finally, an opportunity came.
说埃及王的酒政和膳长因为得罪王，也被下到约瑟所在的监牢里面。
Because Pharaoh's wine, cupbearer and cook.Had offended Pharaoh. They were thrown into prison.
然后他们在同一个晚上都做了梦。
And in one night, they both had dreams.
约瑟为他们解梦。
And Joseph was the one to interpret their dreams.
那约瑟解完梦以后，他就知道这个酒政马上要官复原职。
After Joseph interpreted their dreams, he knew immediately that this cupbearer would be restored to his position.
他的冤情终于有机会可以陈述给当时最高的这个叫什么长官埃及王。
So Joseph felt that his innocence could finally be reported to the highest ruler of all, Pharaoh himself.
你要如果是你的话，这样的机会你会放过吗？
If it were you, would you just pass by this opportunity?
这是你唯一要这个可以陈情昭雪的时候。
This is the only opportunity for you to be released as someone innocently, wrongly accused.
所以约瑟就对这个酒政哀求他说，但你得好处的时候，求你纪念我，施恩于我，在法老面前提说我，救我出这监牢。
So Joseph told this cupbearer, when you are restored to your position, please remember me and tell Pharaoh so that he may release me from this prison.
按照情理来说，这个酒政被约瑟救出监牢以后，这件事情应该在他人生当中留下非常非常深刻的印象。
We would reasonably say that since Joseph had interpreted his dream, this cupbearer would remember Joseph.
但是没想到他出了官复原职以后，竟然把约瑟给忘了。But
surprisingly, this cupbearer, after he was restored to his position, he forgot all about Joseph.
在创世纪40章23节里面，那里讲到说，酒政却不纪念约瑟，竟然忘了他。
It says in Genesis 23 that the cupbearer did not remember Joseph and actually forgot him.
其实我们感觉稀奇的不是酒政为什么忘了约瑟。
Actually, what's not surprising is, we're not only surprised at why the cupbearer had forgotten all about Joseph.
可能我们读到这，我们都有一个奇怪，就是神为什么允许酒政忘了约瑟？
Actually, a question we may have is, why did God allow this cupbearer to forget about Joseph?
那酒政为什么忘约瑟？圣经人没讲。
Why the cupbearer forgot? The Bible doesn't tell us.
可能这个酒政的记忆力不好。
Maybe this cupbearer did not have a very good memory.
出去又非常忙。
And after he returned, he was very busy and occupied.
一不小心把约瑟忘了。
So carelessly he forgot Joseph.
或者是这个酒政本来就是一个非常自私的人。
Perhaps this cupbearer was by nature a very selfish person.
他只想得到人的帮助，却不愿意帮助人。
He just wanted to gain man's assistance, but he didn't want to help anyone.
所以根本就没把这个约瑟求他这件事放在心上。
So he didn't really regard this request with any weight.
所以我们常常奇怪说，这种情况下，神为什么不提醒酒政？
We might think to ourselves, why didn't God remind the cupbearer?
因为约瑟本来就是因为敬畏神，不肯做得罪神的事，才进的监狱。
Joseph was put in prison because he feared the Lord. He didn't want to do anything wrong.
那神不为约瑟伸冤也就罢了。If
God didn't help Joseph out this time, okay.
那现在竟然有一个机会可以让这个约瑟能够从监狱里出来，神为什么不提醒酒政呢？
But now there was an opportunity for Joseph to leave prison. Why didn't God remind the cupbearer?
我想我们可能常常都这样为约瑟打抱不平。
We might want to defend Joseph on this account.
其实我想不是神不提醒酒政。
I believe that it wasn't that God didn't want to remind the cupbearer.
而是神有意的让酒政忘了约瑟。
But God deliberately let this cupbearer forget about Joseph.
那神这样做不是对待约瑟非常残酷？
God wasn't being cruel to Joseph in this.
其实神是以慈爱来待约瑟。
Actually, God was using mercy and kindness in his dealings with Joseph.
那酒政不纪念约瑟，但是神却纪念约瑟。
The cupbearer might forget about Joseph, but not God.
酒政可以忘了约瑟，神从来不忘约瑟。
This cupbearer might forget about Joseph, but God never forgets about Joseph.
神不是不救约瑟出监狱，只是神的时候还没有到。
God wasn't someone. It wasn't that God did not want to save Joseph, but that the time had not come yet.
那后面的故事我们都知道。
We know what happened later in the story.
叫神的时候一到，神借着异梦，借着酒证，就把约瑟从监狱里面救出来。
When God's time arrived, then God used a strange dream and the cupbearer to bring Joseph out of prison.
不仅救出来，而且是从一个这个囚徒一下成为朝中的宰相。
God not only saved Joseph, but also Joseph became immediately was transformed from a prisoner to the prime minister in Egypt.
一人之下, 万人之上, 与埃及王同,
he became a ruler alongside Pharaoh above all other people.
所以从这些事上其实我们可以看见说, 约瑟无论是他被卖到埃及为奴, 或者是到, 被诬陷, 下到监理, 都有神的旨意在其中。
So we can see that God's will and purpose was directing Joseph whether he became a slave or was thrown into prison.
神要不允许他,
if God did not allow these things, none of these things would happen to Joseph. Because God wanted Joseph to do great things for him.
在让约瑟做大事情之前,
before Joseph became such a great man, God wanted to make sure he had the ability to do this.
因为后来神要借着约瑟来拯救, 埃及,
God was going to use Joseph to save all of Egypt.
如果没有约瑟的话, 那个七个荒年, 埃及可能是遍地都会饿死很多很多的人。
If it weren't for Joseph, those 7 years of famine would have probably starved a lot of Egyptians to death.
甚至远在迦南的以色列全族也有可能遭殃。
Even those who are farther away, those in Canaan of the Israelites, they would have also suffered.
所以神是要借着约瑟来拯救不仅当时的埃及,
God was going to use Joseph not only to save Egypt, but also his people, the Israelites.
如果约瑟要能够做到这样的事情,必须要在神手中接受神的训练。
If Joseph was going to do all these great things, he needed God's training.
他必须要忍耐,必须能够殷勤忠心,必须能够任劳任怨。
He needed to be a man of patience, of diligence, of loyalty, not complaining or murmuring.
所有的这些事情都不是在一个安稳的家里面可以学到的。
These were not things that can be learned in a stable and comfortable life.
于是神就借着各样的环境,先让他能够在这个, 在会长的家里面学功课。
So God allowed Joseph to learn these lessons first of all in Potiphar's house.
那在波提法家学的不够，又让他在监狱里面继续学。
He didn't learn this lesson enough, so he was also led to prison to learn these things.
在人看来，好像约瑟的遭遇是一步比一步更苦。
From man's perspective, Joseph's experience seemed worse and worse.
但是在神看来，神却让这个约瑟一天比一天能够担当大事的资格。
But actually, from God's perspective, Joseph was being trained to take up greater and greater responsibilities.
神知道约瑟需要多少时间来训练，知道约瑟的功课学到什么程度。
God knew how long Joseph's training would be, the extent to which he needed to go through this training to learn these lessons.
约瑟出监这件事情给我们的教训，就像阿尔法狗给下棋的时候给人类的教训是完全一样。The
lessons Joseph learned coming out of prison is very much similar to what players of Go learned from AlphaGo.
因为我们的知识非常的肤浅，我们的眼光非常有限。Because
our intelligence is limited, and our sight is very very short sight.
我们只顾眼前的安逸，很少愿意选平坦易行的道路去行。
We only care for the comforts that are temporary or right in front of us.
但是神为着爱我们的缘故，常常不按照我们的意思去做。
But God, out of His love for us, often does not do according to our will.
他把我们放在这个痛苦艰难的环境里面，是为了炼净我们的渣滓。
He puts us in these difficult conditions or circumstances in order to refine us of all our impurities.
另一方面也让我们在当中学到很多宝贵的功课。
And through all of these things, He also wants us to learn many lessons.
神从来没有忘记过他的孩子。
God never forgets His children.
就像在以赛亚书49章里面所说的。
Just like it says in Isaiah 49.
以赛亚书49章15节到16节。
Isaiah 49, 15 to 16.
说妇人焉能忘记她吃奶的婴孩，不连续她所生的儿子？既或有忘记的，我却不忘记你。
Can a mother forget the baby at her breast and have no compassion on the child she has born? Though she may forget, I will not forget you.
看到我将你的名刻在我掌上，你的墙垣常在我眼前。
See, I have engraved you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are ever before me.
他关心，他看护每一个属他的儿女。
God really cares for each of his children.
如果不是为着我们的益处的话，神绝对不会允许任何一个苦难临到我们身上。
If it's not for our good, God will never allow any difficulty to come upon us.
所以弟兄姐妹，如果今天我们神把我们摆在困难的环境里面。
So today, brothers and sisters, when God places us in a difficult situation,
我们求神能够帮助我们，让我们能够认识到神一定是有一个美好的旨意在我们身上。
We pray that we can learn that God has an amazing plan for us.
我们的受苦不是没有尽头。
Our suffering is not endless.
当我们学到我们要学的功课，得到神为我们预备的益处。
When we have learned our lesson and gained what God wanted to give us,
神要亲自把我们从苦难当中救拔出来。
God Himself will save us from that difficult situation.
就像神救约瑟出监狱一样。
Just like God saved Joseph out of prison.
我最后一点啊。
I have a last point.
有一个美国人叫 James Dobson。
There was once an American, there is an American named James Dobson.
是一个作家。
He's an author.
是写了一本书，叫书名叫《当神无可理喻的时候》。
And he wrote a book called When God Doesn't Make Sense.
书里面记载了这样一个故事。
And the book contained this story.
说一个很有名的教会的领袖，他有一个心爱的女儿。
It said that there was a famous church leader and he had a precious daughter.
那他女儿发现脚上有病，然后就去看医生。
And the daughter had a problem with her leg and she went to the hospital.
医生说是不好的细胞，需要把腿切掉。
The doctor said it was a tumor, so she needed to amputate that leg.
所以这个教会这个领袖教会的领袖心里面非常非常痛苦。
The church leader was very troubled inside.
因为他女儿也非常害怕，才有十几岁。
Because his daughter was also very afraid. She was only 10 years old.
所以这个教会的领袖马上就把这件消息通知给他跟他有联系的所有其他的教会，请弟兄姊妹为他女儿祷告。
So this was immediately announced to his church and other church brothers and sisters.
求神来医治他的女儿。
Everyone was praying that God would heal his daughter.
那甚至有很多的教会是排班有这种禁食祷告。
And many churches even instituted times of fasting in prayer.
那大家祷告了很长的时间。
Everyone prayed a long time.
没想到这个女儿的病反倒越来越严重。
But this daughter's disease actually worsened.
那等到她再去看医生的时候。
And when she went to the doctor once again.
医生说你女儿的病已经越来越严重。
The doctor said your disease is getting worse and worse.
不能再等。
You can't wait any longer.
要马上做手术。
We have to do a surgery immediately.
如果再不做手术的话，可能生命都会有危险。
If we don't do an immediate surgery, her life might be in danger.
那他的爸爸就跟医生讲说，请再给我一点点的时间。
The father told the doctor, just give me a little more time.
他就回去更加迫切的为他的女儿的病的医治来祷告。
The father once again prayed very fervently that his daughter may be healed.
那甚至来靠着信心来宣告说，神已经医治了他的女儿。
He even by faith proclaimed that God had already healed his daughter.
可是到了医生所要说的手术的时间的时候，病还是没有好。
But when it came to the date of the surgery, the illness was still not good.
最后这个父亲不得不把这女儿送到医院。
So the father still had to send his daughter to the hospital.
那就在这个手术之前，这父亲跟医生讲。
Right before the surgery, the father told the doctor,
说当你手术的时候，你再重新检查一下，说如果这个肿瘤没有的话，请你不要把我女儿的腿切掉。
He said again, when you perform the surgery, he said to the doctor, when you perform the surgery, check again. If there is no tumor, please don't cut her leg.
他盼望有一个神迹，就是当这个手术的时候，发现神已经医治。
He really hoped for a miracle so that when the surgery was going to take place, God would heal his daughter.
结果女儿就被推进手术室。
So the daughter was wheeled into the surgery room.
那半个小时过去了。
Half an hour passed.
一个小时。
Then 1 hour.
一个半小时。
And then an hour and a half.
她知道没有希望。
He knew there was no hope.
那后来医生出来告诉他说，他女儿的腿已经被截肢。
So then the doctor came out at the end and said his daughter's leg had been amputated.
他说他那个时候整个人都凉了。
At that time he felt himself go numb.
他就从那个手术室一直跑到地下室的太平间里面。
So he went from that surgery room all the way to the basement.
Okay. 那找到一个角落，坐在这个角落里面。
He found a corner and sat there.
他说他心跟周围的尸体是一样的温度，一样的凉。
He felt like his heart was as cold as the corpses around him.
他那时候感觉神真的是无可理喻。
He felt at that time God truly did not make sense.
他说我们一直来侍奉你，又没有犯什么罪。
He said to himself, he said to the Lord, we serve you so well and we haven't committed any sin.
而且你有那么多这个斩钉截铁的应许。
And you have so many precious promises.
有那么多教会的弟兄姊妹为了这件事情祷告。
There's so many church brothers and sisters who prayed for this.
他不明白为什么神让这样的事情发生。
He did not understand why God would allow such a thing to happen.
所以他想的是当神无可理喻的时候我们应该怎么办。
So he thought to himself, what should we do when God doesn't make sense?
我应该怎么办?
What should I do?
所以他后来他说圣灵感动他，他认为说有两条路可以走。
He later said that the Holy Spirit touched him, that he knew there were two roads to take.
一条路就是任凭自己继续埋怨神，继续灰心下去。
One road was to continually be disappointed and continue to complain against the Lord.
甚至他将来也不想再侍奉神。
In the future, he might not even want to serve the Lord any further.
他也感觉他没脸在面对教会的弟兄姊妹，因为这是很丢脸的一件事情。
He also felt he had no face to face his church because this was deeply disappointing.
所以他说这时候仇敌也来攻击他，问他说你的神在哪里？
At this point, Satan also came to tempt him and said, "Where's your God?"
说还有一条路就是
the second road.
说当神无可理喻的时候。我依然把他当为神。
When God doesn't make sense, I still see him as God.
所以让我仍然尊他为大。
I still respect him as sovereign.
于是他选择了后者。
So he chose the second road.
他就振作起来回到病房去安慰他的女儿。
So he calmed himself and went to the surgery room to comfort his daughter.
那书的后面也讲到说神怎样这个借着这件事情恢复了他的全家。
The book later tells how this event actually restored his whole family.
从非常失望、非常灰心的光景里面，神把他们恢复过来。
God recovered them from a deep disappointment to joy again.
那后来他们全家到很多很多的地方去做见证。
And their whole family actually went many places to share this testimony with others.
帮助了很多很多的人。
They shared and helped many other people.
特别是那些在祷告当中没有得到答应。的人在他的见证里面得到非常大非常大的安慰。
Especially for those whose prayers were not answered, they found great comfort in their testimony.
所以亲爱的弟兄姊妹，如果神现在把我们摆在难处里面。
So dear brothers and sisters, if God has placed us in a situation of great difficulty.
如果神也让我们感觉说我们的祷告不蒙垂听。
God also makes us feel that our prayers are not being answered.
我们也感觉神是这样的无可理喻。
We also feel that God doesn't make sense.
求神让我们能够看见他是爱我们的那一位。
We pray that God will allow us to see that He is the one who loves us.
因为他要亲自来教导我们，是我们最好的老师。
He alone is going to teach us. He is our most excellent teacher.
他要用最好的办法，最适合我们的方式来训练我们。
He will use the best methods and situations to train us.
我们所需要做的就是存一颗顺服的心来忍耐，来等候。
What we have to do is to have a heart of obedience to wait before Him.
那尽力做神所喜悦的事情。
To continue to be faithful and do the things that please Him.
相信其余的事神都会负责。
And to believe that all other things God will take responsibility for.
神也一定应许我们，我们要一个最好的人生结局。
God also promises that we will have a great conclusion to our life.
我们要拥有一个无惧无悔的人生。
We will have a life that has no fear or regret.
好，我们一起祷告。
Let's pray together.
主耶稣，我们来感谢你。
Lord Jesus, we thank you.
谢谢你，你拯救我们。
Thank you for saving us.
主啊，我们更感谢你，你亲自来教导我们。
We thank you that you come alone to teach us.
主啊，我们在地上可能有苦难。
On earth, we may face difficulties.
主啊，但是你应许我们在你里面有平安。
But you promise that in you we will have peace.
主啊，我们就为着我们面对一切的环境，我们都把赞美感谢归给你。
Lord, so we give thanks and praise for every situation that we meet.
也求你你加添我们的信心。
And Lord, please increase our faith.
主啊，让我们真的能够知道你的旨意是成全善良可喜悦。
So we know that your will is righteous, it's pleasing, it's kind.
祷告奉耶稣基督宝贵的。
Lord Jesus, we pray this in your name.
Amen.
Amen.